July 14th, 2020, regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
Y'all ready?
All right, I'm going to start video and we're going to unmute. So we're all set. I'm just going to pop out in the hallway, listen real quick, and then come back in.
All right. I'd like to welcome everyone to the July 14th, 2020 regular Borough Town Board meeting. And with that, ask the clerk for a roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Here.
Councilman Noonan is here, but he stepped out of the room, so I'm going to mark him here. Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And I just want to remind everyone, because we are recording this via Zoom, board members or anybody representing town employees, make sure to speak in the microphone so that it can be heard by the clerk. It has to be transcribed at a later date. And this evening, I'd like to welcome Malcolm O'Hara, who is with us as the town council for this evening. So with that, I ask everyone to rise for a pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. First order of business is item one on the agenda. For the record, just want to point out we've been joined by council member LeClaire this evening. And the first order of business, as I mentioned, is the approval of minutes. And the first one I'd like to take up is the audit meeting minutes for June 24, 2020. Any corrections, comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. I do have a couple items on the second 7 minutes. Just want to point that out that we change. One of them is page 147. Second paragraph down from the top where I was talking about the road dedication. It's listed as Timber Lane, and it's Timber Lane, I believe. All one word. So if we make that correction, that's good for that page.
That's all one word because the resolution has it in two words.
Timber Lane?
Right.
Okay, we'll go with what the resolution is.
Okay, but it is Timber and not Timber.
Yes, correct.
Sorry about that.
That's right. And on page 149, where we're talking about the capacity of the water department heading, I had mentioned that there's just over 2 million gallons, 2,030,000 gallons to be exact, and I indicated of that 122,000 gallons was provided to the village during that period, and 700,000 gallons came from Saratoga County, and I think they were off of zero in the amount listed that came from town of Queensbury. Currently states 1,030,000, and it should stay 1,330,000. So I think you need to add another zero onto that.
You mean not add another zero, it should be a three in place of the zero, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Move that.
Yep, gotcha.
And that's all I have on that. I don't know if board members page 144 under resolution 2020-185, second line at the end. It says resolution 173 I think that you need to add the letter P in page 130 instead of in page 130.
Yep.
And that's all I have. I don't know if the board is looking forward to any changes. If not, with those changes, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes for June 24th, 2020, regular town board meeting.
So,
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries unanimously. The second item on the agenda is to set future meetings and workshops. We've been working through the multifamily draft local law update, and I know some board members have provided comments to town attorney, and timing-wise, we should be thinking about setting a public hearing on that once it gets in final form. It's not in final form yet, obviously. But I would ask board members if they haven't had an opportunity to provide a comment to either my office or Carla to do so, so that we can at least get it in a form for the public to comment on it. And timing-wise, we could set the public hearing this evening if you want for the first meeting in August, which would be August 11th. Or not, but either way, we have to get it to the county by the meeting on August 20th. So we won't have a meeting before that date after August 11th. So we can either A, schedule a public hearing this evening, or wait till everybody has the draft and is ready to move forward, and we can schedule it after that time. It's totally whatever the board's pleasure is on.
Assuming that we're going to have something in place before that, so we have an opportunity to go over it, I'm all for scheduling a meeting for the 11th.
Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that.
So our meeting, that'll be the first meeting of the month, is 7 o'clock. We'd like to go 6:30. We'd like to go 6:30 public hearing.
Sure.
That work?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the time on this. There was not a lot of change to that local ordinance. But I need a motion to set that public hearing.
Motion.
Alright, is there a second?
Second.
So we scheduled a public hearing, assuming that we have the draft prepared in a timely fashion for August 11th at 6:30 p.m. here at Town Hall.
So moved.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
You had already done that. You just need to know.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Next item is a COVID-19 update. Just a couple things there. The governor signed another executive order on Monday, which is 202.48, which extended the suspension of in-person meeting requirements through August 5th. So that allows us to have this meeting via Zoom, with not the requirement to have the public in the audience. But I wanted to make the board aware that that's been extended essentially 3 weeks or so. And that came on Monday. And today's update, starting from New York State, the governor added 4 additional states to their mandatory 14-day quarantine period, and they now include Minnesota, Mexico, Ohio, and Wisconsin. They must meet the metrics to qualify for the travel advisory. Also, 1.5% of yesterday's COVID tests in New York State were positive. There have been 5 COVID-19 deaths in state. And the Department of Health also confirmed that there have been 912 additional coronavirus cases in New York State, bringing the total statewide number to 403,175. And as of today, there are new cases in 51 counties in New York. And closer to home, here in Saratoga County, to date, there have been 624 confirmed cases, 17 deaths. There have been 560 individuals that have recovered. There are currently 48 active cases in the county, and the hospitalization actually doubled since yesterday. There's now four individuals that are hospitalized. Yesterday it was two. So the total number of individuals tested here in Saratoga County now is 34,281. And not directly a COVID update, but I did want to bring the board up to speed because it's the result of the COVID pandemic regarding town finances. And looking at the numbers for the past 3 months for sales tax receipts here in town, we are at sales tax numbers of 8 to 10 years. So we've seen a reduction in April of 10.3%. In May, we saw a reduction of 29.6%, essentially 30%. And for the June numbers, we saw, as I indicated at the last board meeting, you know, we've seen a reduction of 37.7%. So we're in good shape financially for the 2020 fiscal year because when the outbreak occurred, we put a hold on all unnecessary spending. We put a hiring freeze in place. So we will weather the storm with this year's budget. It won't be a problem. But next year's budget will be an extreme challenge to put that budget together and have realistic numbers in place to be able to fund government operations. As I've said from the get-go, I have two goals. Number one is to keep our staff, everybody who's currently on payroll, employed. And number two, to keep town tax rate flat. So if we can accomplish that next year's budget, that'll be a huge accomplishment and still provide the necessary services that our residents are looking for. So that's it under the COVID-19 update. Next item on the agenda, the zoning administration. Previous two board meetings, made the board aware that the contract for our zoning administrator runs out at the end of July 31st. And I have had conversations with Jim Martin, who is our zoning administrator, and he's willing to keep the terms of the two-year deal in place for another 2 years with no increase, and those terms are $52,800 annually, and there's verbiage in the contract that allows the town to terminate the agreement at any time with 5 days notice. So I don't know what the board's pleasure is on it. I can tell you that town is in the process of rewriting or reviewing our code and our zoning, and we continue to work through that process. I know it won't be done this year, it will be in the next year before that is completed, and essentially Jim is spearheading that. So my recommendation would be at a minimum to continue the contract for at least a year. With language that allows for board approval to continue, have the option to go another year if we wanted to. And the good thing is, you know, at any time, for any reason, for 5 days notice, we can change our mind with no penalty. So I don't know what the board would like to do on that. But
I'm fine with 1 year with this one. With that change, I guess the language there for 1 year. Knowing that we have that language in there, if we need to, it's not a secret. We've been trying and discussing getting someone here more full-time than what we have, Mr. Martin, but what he's here, what he does for us is such integral work, and we don't have anyone else at this point. And again, he's been wonderful, so I say let's go one more year at least.
I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Sounds good, everybody good?
Okay, so I would entertain a motion to continue the services of our zoning administrator for the period of an additional year with the option to renew that with the same annual terms that we have in place, subject to town council review. And authorize the supervisor to sign that agreement afterwards.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Next item I have on the agenda is under water department. We received a request for a water service on 18 Urn Street in Southwest Falls. And there was a lot of confusion initially as to whether this property was contained in the water district or not. We confirmed that is in fact in a water district. And the problem is that when this water district was extended in 2012, the water line did not go down that end of the road. So obviously this individual is entitled to water service. He's actually June 24th to fill out an application for water service. There's two ways in town to do that. We could run one inch line down all the way to about 350 feet, so it's not a short distance from where the current main ends, the 6-inch main end. That's one thing we can do. However, there's other parcels along the way which are entitled to receive water because they're in the water district. And I spoke with the engineer today, Don Rowe, the first group, and I spoke with Jesse about it, and he also spoke with Jesse, and his recommendation is that we extend the infrastructure, which is something that we'll have to budget for in the next year's budget. Jesse didn't think, well, he said, to do a water main extension, obviously, his department doesn't have that capability or expertise to do that. And our engineer suggested that, we contract out for that. So, we're probably talking, it's a big ticket item, we're probably talking, $30,000 to $40,000, maybe $50,000. I don't know for sure without having actual measurements and all that. So I think it's something that we should let this individual know that he's going to get water, and we hope to address it in this year's budget or next year's budget as we put it together. And that way he can plan accordingly from that. And we'll have the engineers put together specs for getting that line going down to the end of the line. So, another step backwards, but we're moving the panel forward. The next item I have listed is item 6, is the assessor's office. We have a request, pulling back up. So the contract that the town had for our associates was for 6 months. And that will end on July 31st. And we have a request from the assessor to continue to engage their services. We have a proposal to continue that through the end of the year. And they said the services will include commercial valuation consultation, commercial permit support, multiple listing service and sales verification support, digital sketches, photos, RPS attachment, updating various RPS valuation components, in preparation for the 2021 vote. So this is basically the groundwork to keep the rules current for 2021. And as the board is aware, when we brought on the assessor, we committed to providing the necessary assistance to help her with commercial valuations. I think it's more critical than ever before now because we do have, well, you can see for yourself under 9, the changes that are occurring there, and to have that expertise on board, I think it's important for the town to be able to share. It's something that we've budgeted for, so it will not negatively impact the budget for 2020. So the agreement, the schedule is for monthly payments of $10,000 each for August, September, October, November, and December. So the proposal is for, same as the first 6 months, for $50,000. So I don't know if the board has any thoughts on that, or if not, if you're moving it.
I'm interested in, you know, how can we test the process and continue with this.
I'm good. You know, back in May when we did this, it was explained that we're hiring these people to catch caught up into the assessments that they need to do. And I'm hoping that this will get us to where we need to be, so we're not continuing next year with the same $10,000 a month. But, I'm for it. Let's get caught up. Let's get where we need to be and put this thing down.
Okay, so sounds like we'd like to move forward. So I would entertain a motion to authorize the supervisor to sign an extension which is an addendum to the agreement between the town of Rowland Bar Associates LLC for assessment support services for the period of August 1st through December 31st, 2020, at an amount not to exceed $50,000.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimous. Thank you. And item 7 is the transfer station. Got a couple of items there. First one is we've received a request from Ted Mansour, who oversees the operation for the town, to perform the annual grinding of the brush pile down there. Especially with the summer storms that we've had, we seem to have had more than what we usually have each summer, so we don't have a lot of room left down there. So at the direction of the board, we went out and secured 3 quotes for the work, and the first one he has is from WM Beers for an amount of $29,650. The next one is from Albany, New York. Next one from Wood Waste Reduction Service out of Glens Falls for $5,000. And the third is from Volusia Sons LLC Queensbury for $5,500. Ted is recommending that we go with a low estimate, which is Wood Waste Reduction Services in the amount of $5,000. If the board supports of this, it would come from account TS8160.4, which has a ending balance for June 30th of $26,361.77.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, did you have?
No, I just I guess it's probably because maybe go with the most. But I'm thinking about Volusia and the quote is good for 30 days versus 90 days. Ted has recommended going with this particular company. I'm hoping that we can get this done. And I have any other issues with that?
Does everybody have a copy of the proposal?
Yes.
Wood Waste just
Volusia has a grinding for brush pile located at transfer station for $3,500. All ground material will remain on site. The above price is based on one mobilization. And this is a prevailing job.
Which has been good, it's not the time of the year you can get anybody else.
Yeah, so I don't know if Ted made sure the other one was prevailing. So
I don't know that either, but
which will require, we are required, so.
When I look at groups of right up versus wood waste reduction, I look more professional, it's like, this is what you get, and, you know, it's written in such a way that there's no misunderstanding about that.
So, we could do one of two things. We could approve one this evening, subject to verification of prevailing wage. Or we could approve one with an option to go with the second highest, if the first one does not pay prevailing wage. Or we could table it until we verify. So you have two options. Totally what the board will choose.
In my mind, I'm thinking having conversations with Ted, having conversations with Paul Joseph, it's a little early to chip him, although I'm thinking with the size of the pile and what's being brought in still, we probably need to get this done. But if, you know, it was put off for 2 months, that would put it beyond that 30-day mark for wood waste.
Well, what's the date on that? I think it's
7/8.
The 8th, so we wouldn't have our next board meeting. You know, we can reach out and see if we can keep it till 11, and we could verify some of the. So we can table it if the transfer station or transfer committee wants to follow up on that.
I'd like to.
All right, that's what we'll find out. Did we have a motion?
We had a motion, Councilwoman LeClaire.
Okay. So she withdraw the motion.
One thing also, and I know we're not going with the company at home, but they talk about using our equipment and having us do things for them. Wood waste is new, so they're kind of unknown. So if we could ask them how this will go other than just grinding and brushing, you know, what do you expect us to participate in them or to allow them to use our equipment, or if they have any expectations of that also?
Yeah, just trying to work out all of the details of the numbers. And of course.
All right, so we rescinded the motion. You got a record of that?
I do.
All right, so we will take that up at the end of the month meeting. And also, the second item I have this evening for the transfer station. The transfer committee has reported that the last board meeting has been working to address the issue of the pile of yard waste at the transfer station. And I know that the staff down there had concerns about non-residents bringing in, or commercial haulers bringing in brush, composting, etc. And I know council member Hogan at the last meeting graciously agreed to work on a new fee schedule sheet that can be handed out. I think board members have a draft of that, and you want to go through the suggested changes?
Well, essentially, some of it just had to do with wording, but so yard waste is accepted only from town residents. No, if you have town residents, you're not dumping that. They have it listed so that it's no charge for brush, composting, leaves, and grass clippings. So this is like, this goes into the yard waste. We've already had it in there for only fallen tree limbs and brush from storm damage accepted. Checking with the transfer station size restrictions. highlighting the no commercial haulers and no lock guard, so that our employees know that it's not allowed. Exceptions for this yard waste would be that if somebody's coming in, and there, we do have town residents apparently that come in with larger trucks, but if they have a, you know, state body truck or a dump truck, charged at $30 per load. Along with that exception, not to charge Continental Mobile Home Park owners hauling on behalf of their park residents. So, Lamplighter or Wood Birch, you know, if they're picking up in, the, in for their residents and they're bringing it in to a bulk, we don't charge them. And pretty much that's it.
Okay, and also council member Donahue, who is also part of the committee, has been involved in working through the issue, but it needs to cut you out.
All right.
Did you want to add to that?
No, no, it was good. We had a good discussion down there with Ted, and I invited him, and it was a nice idea back and forth, and it's pretty clever, so we get to it's pretty good.
And if you're all in agreement on it, we'd like to accept this as being what they will be doing.
I think it's a needed change. You know, again, it doesn't really affect the residents of the town. It just provides clear direction to our staff that non-residents who don't pay any taxes, don't contribute to the chipping of the brush, will not be permitted there. That eliminates commercial haulers down there. So it actually benefits the taxpayers of the town and road. So, do you have the changes, Leanne?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I guess I would ask that the motion be offered with the new fee schedule and requirements for the transfer station to be adopted with the effective date. We want to give them the heads up, you know, enough time of August 1st. So people, we can hand this out.
That would be fine with me.
Okay, so that works for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That way nobody is caught off guard here. So we will make sure we print copies of this, and we'll have transfer station staff hand it out. We'll let it go into force in effect on August 1st. So we'll leave a motion to do that.
So you'd like a motion to accept the change in the fee schedule for the transfer station dealing with the acceptance of the yard waste.
Second.
Any additional discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried unanimously, and we'll get that posted on our website as well so that our residents know that it's coming. And I just want to thank the transfer station committee for working on that. I know the staff will be very happy to learn that they have clear direction on what the town expects from the services down there. I did receive, while we were in conversation and discussion on that topic, backing up to the grinding of the wood chips, the highway superintendent has indicated that wood waste is a self-owned only employee. So, obviously, the other thing is the non-merger.
Okay.
I don't know if that changes anybody's mind, but
I'd be happy to accept it on that $5,000. You want a motion on that?
So, it sounds like Paul knows the individual as well, that they were doing that?
Right. I don't know that. I'm just curious.
We've used them before.
Oh, yeah.
Mm hmm.
Okay. I'm okay. Going forward.
So,
let's get that back on the table. All
right. So, somebody would like to move that we engage the services for running brush at the transfer station of Woods Lake Reduction Services at Glens Falls at an amount not to exceed $5,000. Which is a quote, good for 30 days, and it would come from account TS8160.4, which has a balance of $26,361.77 as of June 30th.
So hold it.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. All right. Good. I have listed this evening is the Sewer District 1 Extension 5. At the last board meeting, I updated everyone as we're working through the sewer project, and we're in the process of securing easements for that project for the main and lateral infrastructure. And the board was in agreement to offer a payment for the easements based on per footage. And in order to do that fairly, we had to have an appraisal on what that value would be per foot or per acre. So the engineer reached out to several companies, and I think the board should have a matrix of them. We received responses from GAR Associates, which would provide value ranges per front foot and per acre, an amount not to exceed $5,000. It would require a 2-week turnaround. We also received the price from Integrated Valuation, which would do the same, but a 30-day turnaround for $7,200. We received from ESAC an estimate of $4,250. However, they indicated that is with a 3-week turnaround, but they said they could do 2 weeks if necessary. And then the final quote was from RK Height, and they could do it for $5,000. I spoke with Carla, the town attorney, and with Don Rose for a recommendation which one to go with. Obviously, the three of them are pretty close. The issue here is the time-sensitive nature to keep the project on track. They want to have all the easements basically in by the end of the month. And any of those that may be outstanding, to at least be able to tell them what the town would pay based on the assessment. And so Don Rose, our engineer on the project, has recommended that we go with GAR Associates because we're already using them for our assessment services. And so they're, to be more specific, GAR indicated that they would research land values and sales for specific zoning, land uses, shapes, and topography along the Route 9 corridor. They would provide value ranges per front foot and per acre for the town as a frame of reference for easement offerings to property owners. And they would also discuss factors that would impact values such as zoning, applicable, irregular shaped lots, corner traffic, signal lots, etc. And GAR will also retain all sales data, all relevant information in their assignment work file. And they said that their fee would be $5,000 with a turnaround time of 2 weeks. So if the board's comfortable with that, go with the engineer's recommendation on that, I'd obtain a motion to engage their services.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 9, I have listed for the Recreation Department on this evening's agenda. And the first order of business would be to congratulate our rec leader. We received, as everyone's aware, that position required an examination. And not only examination, in order for the town to retain that full-time appointment that we made several months ago, the individual would have to score in the top three, and not only did Peter score in the top three, he was number one. I just,
we had
so I just want to just want to point that out on the record. And I'll be completing the necessary paperwork to get that to the county for civil service purposes. And we do have, I was going to have it under committee reports, but we can take it up now if we want to talk about activities at the rec department. Totally whatever the board's pleasure. Take it up under committees or?
Right now it's fine.
So the town park, town borough has not closed the Heritage Beatnar Park. We have kept it open through the entire COVID-19 pandemic. With the board feeling that, you know, with everybody being required to stay home and people not having a lot of options for getting out of the house, out of the yard, out of the parents there. You know, we've seen an uptick in a lot of people using their park. They've done, for the most part, a very good job about social distancing. They've been walking down there, they've been running down there. So now the we've got a keen interest from some of the teams that are coached by coaches that reside in the town. They'd like us to open up fields for use for baseball and softball, and I've had conversations with the rec leader to work with the coaches to come up with the New York safety plans that everyone's supposed is required to have for CDC, New York State DOH protocols, and with that. I'll turn it over to Council Member Hogan, who I know has been working with the rec leader, has been working with the groups to provide an additional update. I know that there will be an opportunity for our rec leader to also weigh in. So.
Well, Bill, I put a lot of faith in the leader in drawing up a plan for what we would expect based upon the guidance that we've been receiving from the state and other entities. I and a few others that I know would like to see this park open back up for teams to be able to play games. We have come to a determination that we do not want to open up for tournaments. We don't want teams coming from out of state. But most of our local teams are playing. Most of our local teams are just playing single games right now with teams within the Capital District area. Not going beyond that. So it's not like they're coming in from other states. They're pretty much right in this area. Softball, I think, is pretty similar in that sense. I don't know all of the different players that might be having in the softball games, but, you know, from experience, I know that they're not very far either. And they, because of the travel restrictions, any of the outside teams know that they can't come here. It would be responsible of them, and they're choosing not to, as well as a lot of the entities have chosen to cancel tournaments that were scheduled, as we have pretty much said that's what we're doing as well. We'd like to see the park back open back up for the games, the local teams, and get the kids playing again. I'm looking at a schedule right now that basically would go through August 16th, but probably the park, at our park, the last game that I see scheduled would be August 4th, if in fact I can play that. And this is coming from my son's team. You know, I'm thinking that Peter has drawn up a protocol that was in accordance with what the state has recommended. I know that like Eastern New York Travel Baseball, they also have protocol, and it's just a matter of like the coaches knowing that they have to enforce it, or they're not going to be allowed to play there. And they're willing to do that. My son's coach, you know, he's bringing hand sanitizer, face masks for the kids if they can't provide their own. And I just love the game up on the bus ball tonight with the plan. And home base umpire wearing a mask, kids in the dugout wearing their masks. They're following the protocols. I think it's time to open back up and know that, and these people are willing to do this, follow the protocols, to be able to play. They just need a spot to do it.
Yeah, and I'm in agreement with that. None of us know what the future holds, but at this place and time, I think it's something that we can do safely as long as the rec leader has whatever staff that he needs necessary.
Well, speaking of staff.
We'll talk to that. I just want to make sure, though, when we say open up the park, I am not in favor of allowing our pavilions to be rented. And the reason, there's several reasons for that, but primarily, there's not a single pavilion in any New York State park that is open right now. They're all cordoned off. And for us to go beyond that example, I don't think it's appropriate at this time. But regarding the use of the field, we put a lot of time and effort into it. There's a strong willingness to get out and use the facilities. And obviously, we want to, because we're going to balance public health with that, with a plan in place, I think we can do that. So,
sure.
So I know you have questions for Pete regarding staffing.
Well, so Pete sent out some information, and he feels to be short-handed, and I understand. And I reached out to my son, who's in the high school level, and said, when kids that might be interested. And he started making some texts to these kids. And I'm thinking that there's 3 to 4 kids that I could have applications here probably by the end of the week, if not tomorrow morning. But with that said, I know that he would like to see somebody with more buildings and grounds experience. But I think to get through the season, we probably should be looking at the younger kids right now and get, somebody there, and then discuss for a long-term employment, for maybe for next year, and that budget back, which that's including.
Yeah, I think we have a very short window to use the fields, especially with the colleges starting up sooner earlier because of the pandemic. And so, the quicker that we can get there, the better. That's probably going to require that we do use, high school.
Well, so the college kids, college kids are starting back up like August 13th or so. They'll be home for Thanksgiving, but.
Yeah. So, I want to make sure that the rec leader has an opportunity to weigh in and then to maybe comment.
So, board member Councilman Newman asked me today to do some research as far as the age of workers. Yeah, the question I asked him was how old do kids have to be in order to operate all the machinery at the track? And so, based on both state and federal labor laws, it looks like children under 16 years of age cannot operate lawnmowers, lawn trimmers, weed cutters. But then it went on to say that federal law also prohibits workers under the age of 18 from driving motor vehicles or being an outside helper on motor vehicles.
We have a memo from town attorney on that. That's been previously brought up. So we can resurrect that and get the requirements around all the workers.
That would be my only concern. We have a number of riding mowers, motorized rigs. Basically, everything down there is motorized, and that's what we kind of need to be able to keep up on the amount of field prep and field work that we have to do. As far as operating vehicles, I mean, we can probably get around that. They don't need to be driving the trucks or trailering the equipment. We can do that for them. But I am a little concerned about the lack of staff this summer at the rec department. I will not have the luxury of being able to train newer, younger employees as well as we have been able to do in the past.
Two of the kids that I'm thinking of right now that would apply have several years of experience operating mowers and weed whackers. Some of them I know firsthand.
Okay.
Well, I think there's two issues here. One is we have some long-term staffing challenges, and we certainly have some immediate.
Sure.
And so I think there's two different topics here. I think, and we'll have to look at this at budget time. We need to look at having a program in place where we have additional full-time employees. Because we're just at that level now.
And that I understand, and I think that would be a rather
You know, that's something that we will have to address. But the short term is, you know, we need to get somebody in there to at least let these kids get out there before school starts up.
We did have a handful of applications that came in right as the pandemic was starting, because we had advertised, the board had authorized me to advertise for some summer help. I could revisit those applications. There's also at least one more seasonal employee who has been in the town for a number of years, typically only works a few nights a week, but he may be interested in helping to bridge the gap. Because again, closing is a concern. The park, if we're going to be open for practices and games, the park hours are listed at 8 to 8, but it's more practical to think it's going to be 8:30 or 9, even some nights, by the time our staff is able to close everything up and get out of there. So having reliable, responsible people to be able to go through the park in the evening and making sure that I would really rather not have just one person. It really minimum of two in the evening to help to kind of get everything closed up and get everybody out of there for the night. So, but I don't see any of these things as unworkable, and I'd be happy to work with the personnel committee or the rec committee or both committees and figure out how we can address the immediate staffing needs. And then again, I'll be very happy to have a conversation about long-term staffing come budget workshop time in the fall.
So I think, I'm sorry.
With regard to reopening the field for practices and games, we talked about the sort of rubric that I created, I don't like to call them rules, I guess protocols, that we're going to ask teams and organizations to follow. This was put together by scouring, going through New York State Department of Health, publications, CDC, again, individual organizations like USA Softball, Eastern New York Travel Baseball. I think it's fairly comprehensive, and I'd like to think these are the same things that any town would be requiring if they are, in fact, allowing teams to practice or play games there. I do have one or two questions. The greatest concern is with regard to games at the park. There has been some contradicting things that have come out of the governor's office. When he initially said that youth sports could resume on July 6th, that they would be allowed to have two spectators per player. There is also currently a limit on gatherings of, the limit on gatherings is currently 50 people or less. So the average softball game or baseball game down at the park with two spectators per player, coaches, umpires, it's going to run in the 75 to 80 person range on the average. So I've asked town council to review this. It doesn't sound like there is a clear-cut answer, one way or the other. I can tell you that other towns are viewing socially distanced spectators as separate gatherings, and that's sort of how they're getting around the number issue. If I come to the field with my players and their parents, and we are on the first base side of the outfield watching our game, and the other team and their spectators are in the opposite side of the field, that everybody is socially distanced.
I think a lot of the issues are addressed by the organization that will have to put a safety plan in place that we approve. If they're following that, we approve.
What I will say is the organizations that I've spoken to do not believe that a 50-person per field limit is workable. That if they cannot have the two spectators per player, and again, could drive the numbers per field up to 75 or 80, then it's not really going to be feasible for their organization to hold a game at the park. So that's why I'm stuck kind of on that one point.
Yeah. No, I understand. When I look at the field and think about positions and where people could gather, granted you might have more than 50 people at a field, but they could be so spread apart that it's they could single families can easily get within a 6-foot area, 10-foot area, 12-foot area, and still have space for other people out there without the social distancing can happen on a park that, you know, a field of 350-foot deep.
What I am recommending, based on the guidance that I've seen from various organizations, is that no more than half of the fields in the park would actually be used at any given time. Mm-hmm. So that in the quad, for example, the quad softball field, we would have two fields going. They would be the opposite, either A and D or B and C, but not all four at the same time. And so if a game is ending on A and C, those teams have a chance to leave, and then we begin a game on B and D, or vice versa. We mix it up.
Sure.
So that makes me feel a little better, too, about allowing a few more people per field. Because down in the quad, with four fields back-to-back, if you started thinking about 75 to 80 per field, now that's times four. So now you do have a fairly large concentration in one relatively small area of the park. So if the board is happy with these tables that I've created, then this will be the guidance that I sit down and go over with all of the individual coaches and organizations. This is what they will be agreeing to follow, these protocols. There will be waivers for players, coaches, spectators. My understanding is they do not need to sign one for every game, but as long as we have one of these on file.
So there's a waiver, a COVID waiver, put out by the Eastern New York Tampa Baseball. Is that adequate for the team? I know I'm an alliance, I signed out behalf of myself.
So the town's attorney and I discussed waivers actually quite a bit over the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that some other organizations are requiring their own waivers, but it seems like the best way for the town to sort of make sure that we're covered is to get our own from everyone.
Separate business.
So we prepared a draft. Carla and I worked on this. This is very similar to what other towns, such as Greenfield, are using for their rec department. It's basically the same sort of language that we see on the pre-work checks, home checks and stuff that we're supposed to be doing. They're just going to say that they understand the risks of the virus and the risks of participating in athletics where you're gathering with other people, and that you're monitoring yourself for symptoms. You're not going to attend if you're not feeling well, those sorts of things.
So just to keep us moving along here and productive, first of all, thank you for putting together, working with the rec committee. I know you met with them at least once or twice, and putting together this reopening plan. I've read the reopening plan. I don't think it's unreasonable. I've read the draft assumption of risk waiver. I don't know if the board has done that as well. I'm okay with this being in place and allowing us to expand our recreational opportunity at the rec based on everything we talked about, the protocol, that draft protocol that we have here tonight. I think if those groups are working within those parameters and they're abiding by the terms, you know, then we should be able to use part of
it. I agree.
When they talk about the tracking, are we supposed to be keeping, or maybe the coaches know what kids were there, some kind of a roll call, so if someone gets sick, we have to say we need to let all these other people know? Can we do that now?
So each organization, John mentioned, Captain Hogan mentioned, Eastern New York Travel Baseball, for example, they have their own set of health and safety guidelines, and they do have, I believe, information here, preventative measures, on-field rules, and I believe, yep, they have a facilities piece. With regards to tracing, similar to when the town planned to reopen to public in this building, we had to complete the New York State's New York Forward Safety Plan template, and we had to say how we were going to keep track of people entering and exiting the building, those sorts of things. So those organizations will have to do that. Right. If we're going to move forward, then the first order of business for me will be to reach out to all of the organizations that normally use the park, give them our expectations, our protocols, and make sure that we get all of the paperwork and everything before we start scheduling fields. What I would say is, on some of the information I've given you, I have put the 15th as a possible starting date, which is tomorrow. I don't think that's realistic for me, for my staff, or even for these organizations. It's going to take me a few days to go through and make sure that all of our ducks are in a row, but I'm happy to do this.
You have another Friday?
I understand there are some games scheduled for this weekend.
People are antsy.
I can appreciate that. If I'm being honest, I'm a little antsy too.
So I know you're hesitant. What gives you pause? Not having the fields ready?
The fields, we have put all of our attention into those fields for the last week, right, and they are as good as they've ever been.
So
it's not the fields. It's making sure that I can disseminate this information to the groups, and I can have all of their paperwork back to me. The other thing that I need to remind everyone is that the town has always had protocols for reserving field time for practices and games. Mm-hmm. All of the town's normal paperwork and fees, which get paid to the town clerk's office, all of that must be taken care of as well before someone is granted field use. So I just don't think I'm going to be able to turn this around and have somebody meeting all of our requirements and practicing or playing a game tomorrow.
Well,
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I'm just thinking about the Northeast Hurricanes.
Yep.
Don't we have a contract in place with them for the year?
So the town board had approved contracts with several organizations this year. There was not a contract signed with the Hurricanes. We did have a signed contract with South Glens Falls girls softball and youth baseball. Those contracts are not in force at the moment. We could not, the town could not live up to our end of those contracts, and the organizations could not, did not live up to their end of the contract as far as payments and things were concerned. So that is another question. I would need some guidance, maybe from the rec committee, on how to negotiate a fee for an organization such as the Hurricanes that is more than just a one-time, you know, or casual use, but a we're going to play 40 games there over the next 6 weeks. Those are all things that, again, would need to be ironed out.
Well, I'm looking at roughly 4 weeks at this point based upon what I see for schedule. But, obviously we couldn't start when the line was started because of COVID restrictions. I'm thinking that if we could do something more to reduce rate for the contract and basically it's signed by Jack Hill, isn't it? And you?
What, I don't know what time-wise if the rec committee could meet tomorrow morning. If they did have a time availability.
I could later in the morning.
Or later in the morning. I would suggest, because, you know, we've got hold harmless agreements, but things like that. The rec committee could meet with the rec leader, you know, come out with a pro for each group, a prorated fee schedule, an agreement that the organizations will sign that they receive this and will abide by it. We'll do an amended contract. We can do lineups in that, in the contract, if it works for them. We have a whole harmless agreement signed. I still think we can get the fees paid before, but I think we can still get
there. That's what I'm thinking, you know.
So why don't we...
We're getting the information out to them.
Sure.
You can, most of these people will take emails and can disseminate it, like, you know, through Jack Hill, we can disseminate it to the coaches.
Yep.
Easy enough. And, you know, get the coaches to have the kids sign things, or families.
I will just need to coordinate with the clerk's office to make sure we do have some insurance certificates on file, but I know that some people have renewed during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see who has insurance on file, who doesn't. So I'm happy to make this a priority tomorrow, and I will move as quickly as I can.
Can you 10:30?
Well, whatever.
Well, what's going to work for you?
Probably 10:30 or 11 tomorrow is fine.
That's fine for a while.
People's tax is still lagging until they let
you know. Yeah, I'll get with
we can work out the nitty gritty on the groups, get that information hopefully by then tomorrow out to them. That'll give them March 3rd. Did you say they want to be
tomorrow? Tomorrow.
Oh,
okay.
There is a game, a request to. For the park to host a baseball game on Legion Field Thursday.
Okay, so if they after you guys are going to meet tomorrow, they meet all the obligations that they normally would have to meet. We're good to go.
All right. Spot up is then.
And it goes 10 until 6 p.m. tomorrow.
11 o'clock here.
11 o'clock here.
I have a feeling, and I expect that. Because there's such a keen interest to make this work, that they will work with the town and make this work.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't think it's going to be an issue. If they're not willing to do that, then they don't get what they're looking for.
I'm not sure if the board feels it's necessary. It would make me feel better if there was a resolution adopting this plan.
There will be a resolution for that. But
I just...
What would the resolution say? This is administrative.
That we're adopting this plan and empowering the.
All right, so I entertain a motion to adopt the reopening plan as provided by the rec leader on July 9, 2020, for a recreation park with the agreement that all groups utilizing the park will abide by the agreement, will sign it prior to using the facilities, and that will include assumption of risk.
So moved.
Second.
I just want to thank Councilman Holman, Peter, our rec leader. We had a meeting, we went over things a lot. We had a meeting, things which I don't know what people like about this. Yeah. And when I saw the detail and the information that Peter had gathered and the amount of work he put into pulling this all together, it was amazing while he had put it down. And John was able to answer my questions, and it seemed reasonable and doable. So thank you. I love thinking, okay, maybe we can make this happen. You know, and then I'm like, okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, both of you.
So, any other discussion?
Just real quick again, thank the rec committee and Mr. Olszewski for making this a priority. And, you know, we've all been hearing that the kids might get back out there, but I think the important thing to do is do it safe and right, and I think we're going that way, so that's great. My only other question was about the plan. So say we get, I just have to ask this question, say we get an organization that has a leader that says, who cares, we're playing, we're not going to follow rules. So can we say something clear, like, okay, fine, you've lost the right to host a tournament 2 years in our park, or something along those lines. We don't have to do a warning system, we don't have to do anything, everybody knows the rules at this point, because they've been going to the fields for a week not playing, and I hear that some fields don't care. And
so you can...
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's a big deal. We expect, like you said, major buy-in, they're going to work it, they're going to work with it. As things get more casual in the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and it's like, oh, we have forgotten what we have to maintain here, because we all know there's no medical solution yet for COVID-19, and keeping these protocols and parameters in place is going to slow the spread, because that's all we can do. We have to make sure that these bylaws or protocols, whatever we're calling them, are followed and maintained. What is the, I guess, the fallout if you decide to disregard what we've asked an organization to
do? Well, I have no problem if you'd like to offer the following resolution to go along with that agreement that failure to abide by the terms agreed to, which the reopening plan has, may jeopardize future use of Tamaro facilities.
That's great, because what's going to happen is it's not going to be someone from the town that picks up on it. It's going to be calls from parents that go, you know, I thought you guys were going to agree, thanks so much, but nobody, because I've already heard it from other places, that parents are nervous that their kids could get sick or something if someone isn't following the rules, and it's, you know, this coach doesn't want to follow the rules, and they don't care. So they all kind of, you know, it will come back to us one way or the other. I mean, it doesn't necessarily be a town employee that goes, I saw this happen. It's going to come back to us.
Maybe I'm mistaken, but my assumption has always been that field use was at the discretion of the rec leader, and if I have any issues with not following rules, then it's at my discretion to not allow the use by that organization.
Yeah, that's the agreement that they signed to have approved.
Right, so they're aware. And I think that's great, and maybe we even put some signs out with a town number on it to contact the recruiter should there be a question of our safety plan. Because you guys have done such good work in putting this paperwork together that it shows that our focus is safety, and we want to make sure it's maintained. So, thank you.
Yeah, You're right, because how many teams got sent off the fields when this all was crashing down on us and didn't care about the rules and snuck into the field? And that was my big concern. They didn't follow rules then. How do we know they're going to follow protocol now? So this is a chance to give people an opportunity to be back on the fields, and hopefully they take this seriously.
Okay.
They should have before.
So if you want to change that form, we'll have to offer that option. Or somebody will have to offer that.
Do we just make a motion to change the form at this?
Based on the verbiage, to add that to the reopening requirement.
Just trying to think how we should word it.
I wrote down what the supervisor had said.
Okay. So I make a motion to change an addendum to the previous motion.
To include the verbiage outlined regarding the use of the fields by the supervisor.
To include the verbiage outlining the use of the fields via the supervisor.
As previously stated.
No worries. Second.
All right.
Third, fourth, and
fifth. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Anything else for Rick?
One thing before we move further. I want to do it. Tell you a great job on this, and you did a great job. You can tell there's some work put into this, into this document. You did a great job. And I can see you're ready. You're kind of dedicated out there getting this thing done. I love that. I love that spirit. The only other thing I want to touch on was the employee thing. If we authorize him to start having some employees, some people to get the employees that he needs to.
Have
we given him the authority to work with the rec committee or whatever? Because we've got to get this done sooner rather than later.
I think we touched on it, but we didn't really continue on. So my recommendation would be for either the personnel or rec committee, it doesn't matter to me, get the applications that we recently received for working at rec, as well as any new applications. And it's up to the board. Do you want the rec committee to work with the rec leader on that, or do you want personnel committee?
I'm comfortable working on that.
All right. So the rec committee can work on getting that to our agenda.
I don't have copies of any of the applicants.
I have copies, and we can get them.
We can get them from the first one.
Yeah. Oh, the one? The ones? The new ones?
No.
Okay, we'll get the old ones.
I think if you give me new ones, I'll have more for you too.
Anything else for the rec?
But I was thinking about the older ones. You were going to see if people might still be interested.
Sure.
All right, good. So with that, for all the rec, we've got some supervisor items. Interesting and eclectic across the board. I'll go through them really quickly here. I know we've a little bit long. First thing is, I got a call today, and I spoke with the highway superintendent from an individual on that avenue requesting a three-way stop sign there due to repeated speeding offenders. It's actually an issue in some early areas of town, but he believes it's a dangerous situation. I'm talking with Paul, highway superintendent. There are some requirements that I think for the county to make that happen. But I'll be talking with him further on that to see if that's a possibility there. I also received correspondence from the New York State Department of Transportation. This is in relation to the I-87 exit 17 redesign. In the correspondence, they indicate that they anticipate the project construction will begin in the summer of 2021 because sewer won't be enough. We need to do a redesign of exits in the same year, and it will be completed by the end of 2022. And so they have put together, and I don't know if the board got a copy, but I just got it yesterday. If not, we'll get it to the board. A copy of the informational brochure that's going to be mailed to the public, to those residents and businesses that are near the project area. They expect that this mailer will go out July 16th. And what it is, it's two-sided. It's got a picture of the town of Moreau with the redesign and more detail. It's got FAQs on one side and a close-up of what the new design will look like. There'll be a copy for board members. We'll put it on the website if we'll be able to do that. And they will receive comment on their proposal. I will be, with the recommendation of the water superintendent, I'll be lifting, the town of Moreau will be lifting the water emergency. The village is also doing the same. There's automatically, by resolution, will be lifted tomorrow. Anticipate I'll be doing the reverse email on the call to let the public know that that is happening. Also, the board is aware, but this is for the public, that it's planning board on July 20th. The Stewart Shop site plan review for the new shop on Route 9, corner of Spire Falls Road, will be taken up. So, any member of the public that would like to view that or comment, if they're allowed, they can go to the website and see how to watch that. I want to commend actually a member of our planning board, Eric Bergman, who's been working with the town as an employee of Oralex to install the gates down there in the industrial park. I don't know if anybody's seen them. I was down there yesterday. They're all painted. They're locked to keep people from trespassing, dumping, you know, TVs, chairs, couches, toilets down there in the National Grid right away. And target practices down by the river. So I want to thank them for working to put that up for us. They paid for everything. They built the gates. The only thing that they asked is that the town supply a dumpster and manpower to clean it up, and all of them working with them, and so we should get that cleaned up here in the near future. So kudos to the Oralex. I want to make the public aware that I received a press release from Saratoga County today that the Wilton DMV location will be opening July 27th. And they will also be establishing a new online reservation system for DMV services. I'll put that link up on the town's website. And let's see. I don't know if board members have had an opportunity to view the new location. Actually, new location. We haven't had an office for the local historian. And they've done a great job. I know the rec department's been working to get that space up and usable. So there are offices. There is an office over there for any member of the public that wants to meet with the local historian, who is Bridget Martin, in case no one knows. And thank everybody involved for getting those facility made available and usable by the public. And the last item I have, as I continue to work with DOT, my most recent update regarding drainage along 197, they have a design now, as I indicated through the past many months. One of the challenges was they didn't have the right soils to do pumps through into the sub layer so that the dry wells and get the water down. But they have a design that will be a 0.4% slope where they will replace three driveway culverts. They will use the J reject the clean out the culvert underneath 197. They have agreement from the property owner to ditch that side of the road, the south side of 197, down through the natural drainage area which goes behind this woman's property. I don't have her name, but she graciously agreed to work with DOT and letting them have access to her property. So there will be a 3-foot drop from that culvert all the way underneath Sullivan Road. They did indicate, I'm not sure that this will address the issue, but it will allow the water to at least move a little quicker down through there. I asked them when they plan to do the work, and I kind of hate to put the timing out there because every time I put it out there, it just gets pushed back. But I can tell you that their hope is at the end of the month, but it all is predicated on their access to the rail, which is shared by 3 different regions, which always isn't working. So it's predicated on the availability of an operating rail. It's still on the horizon. So that's that. And that's all I have for this evening. Does any board member have anything else? Yes.
Just, I know we talked briefly about the idea of a part-time code enforcement officer again, since we lost Peter. He had started quite a few files on a lot of violations going back when from his time here, and I know a lot of those at this point need follow-up. And with building going back up to full speed again, I know the office is busy, and I don't know if we're properly staffed in there at the moment either. So we could.
I think we're the position is posted on our website, but so you want to do an advertise?
I mean, it's on the website. I guess I wasn't aware of that, but I guess just maybe talking about it, maybe we'll get some coverage, and we can get some interest drummed up for that position, because I know Mr. Drymiller could use the help in the office. So.
You want to invite the board in the...
Does everybody know how many people know the location now? Right. Should we watch this right now? I don't know.
Okay, so if you can put it
in. Like a chronicle or something. I don't know where, but I think we need to get more to get the word out. But I figure...
Well, I know there's a lot of... You know, another interesting thing that's happening right now, too, is that everyone's still home, working from home, and doing home projects, and I think more decks are going on without permits, and more porches, and sheds, and pools, and things that aren't necessarily fine-worthy that makes a ton of money, but it's good, obviously, to keep our records up to date, and, you know, that, of course, you can do the assessor's office and assessments and all the stuff that then ultimately generate revenue, so I think we would need to do what we can to get a good person in that position, for sure.
Well, the good news is I spearheaded an effort at the county to utilize funding this year's budget, where they once again did a contract for pictometry, which is a flyover of the county, and from the New York State Tax and Finance Department, First Department of Tax and Finance, the images that are taken by pictometry are approved for use for assessment purposes. So when our new assessor came on board, she was part of the reason why I pushed for it, because it would be a useful tool that is for many different reasons, but particularly in the assessment office, where you can do comparative images from previous year. And so you can capture that value without doing the reval, you know, things like that. So that will help in that area, but I totally agree that you need to get somebody in there.
Yeah, and I just think it's more of an education piece, too. I think a lot of people just don't know that you need to get a permit to put a fence in. You know, or you need to get a permit.
put a shed on your property, you need a permit, put a pool, you know, all these things that most of them can be taken care of at the window, but then when you get an angry neighbor, all of a sudden Matt's got to do something with a developer, put that down, to go over and tell someone they got to stop working on the fence right now. So you think, you know, so I think it's an education piece more than anything, and you know, I'd rather kind of attack it that way.
So we'll need a motion to make that advertisement place whatever.
I'd like to make present a motion to place an advertisement in our local newspapers advertising for a part-time code enforcement officer position.
Do you want to do something for Rick also with that one?
Peter, how much advertising do you think you would need for your position?
Like a full page ad or
I don't know, to be honest. Based on the applications we have in hand, the ones that are pending, being turned in, we may have a decent pool. I think we're looking for a couple of part-time staff right now.
We can do maybe more, something later for like the full-time work.
Even fall when school starts, if school's going to start. If we're hiring school-age kids.
If you would like to advertise for the park at the same time that you advertise for the building department, that's fine by me. We opted not to do newspaper advertising this winter. We only did website and Facebook, and we got a number of hits from that, but I'm happy to have you do
what you're going to put on the rec Facebook page.
Rec Facebook page
and town website.
I'm comfortable just keeping one ad for part-time code enforcement with kind of compost
are. I don't know, but think about it. You're reaching one age group. Your retired staff have been strong, and are your retired staff watching that rec page? And later, if we need someone to pay for a full ad, the cost is way more than if we add a few lines.
I'm on board.
Well, we got a motion, so.
Okay. Are we going to rescind it the same?
Well, you'd have to rescind it.
Yes. That's fine. Mr. Manning, would you prefer we add rec to the same advertisement for code enforcement?
Sure.
All right. So I'd like to rescind the previous motion.
I think the long-term goal is to get somebody there that has a little bit more experience with building the ground, but we also need somebody to take care of short-term issues.
Okay. So I have to rescind the motion for part-time code enforcement advertising in the local newspapers. And do I have to get a second on rescinding? No. And I'd like to make a new motion that we place an advertisement for part-time code enforcement in addition to, or additionally, seasonal part-time labor, what we call it, seasonal part-time laborers for buildings and ground recreation, and as well as full-time buildings and grounds recreation.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Committee reports. I think we covered the rest.
I will tell you that. So I've reached out to Jack Jones, the assessing. He's brought it back. He's willing to pay for field use. So we really won't be in need for a contract.
Okay.
We will get together and get some information out from him, and we'll get that going. We don't have contracts. Do we have a contract? We need a contract for girls' softball, and I don't think that Little League was planning on doing anything based upon what
we
told
them. We have a contract that was signed with girls' softball and youth baseball. I will reach out to the president of the organizations and find out what their plans are for this fall.
Yep.
If we can modify existing contracts, or it may be better to offer just a prorated one-year thing, because those contracts were for 5 years each. I certainly don't want to modify them going forward. Hurricanes, that should be fine. We can look at what they have paid us annually, and again, we can probably come up with a prorated per game fee for them. They are the single largest user of Legion baseball field every year, and they are really a really good organization to work with. Completely nonprofit, community based. So we'll work with them.
Anything else already?
No.
I don't think there's anything there.
But the other thing is when you talk about the state government and they have those countries stuff along 197. I noticed they had all kinds of painting along the side of their own stuff. But yesterday today, from here, it's called the people up.
It had two utility companies on
it. Then there was two people there yesterday. There's another company there today. So they're up there putting the flags out, so at least it looks like there's something coming our way up there. God was waiting, but it looks like we're making progress.
Well, I think it was a year ago or a year and a half ago that came up Markel Lines.
Did they?
Yeah. So, well, they're doing their job.
Keep our fingers crossed for that.
So we'll see what happens. Any other committee reports? If not, any other business?
No, I thought I had everything together for the newsletter, but after talking to Lisa, it really isn't feasible to do it in the town. And she suggested I talk to Staples, and Staples won't talk to me over the phone. I have to go in and see them, which was seemed kind of strange in light of the way the things are. I said, I just want a price of a copy in the Staples. And he said, oh, no, you have to come in to Dallas and you have to go over all that. So.
Yeah, and the reason that you got that reply, because I asked him to talk with you, is that, as you know, Rudy's not been with us for some time now, here working in town hall, and he did yeoman's work assisting with the monthly audit, putting all the vouchers together. So my office picked up the slack on that. Jeffrey and Lisa have both been doing a good job. But now we're in the budget season. Jeffrey, he's got to do the AUD audit. So
hopefully in 2 weeks. So that's the target. And now we kind of know we narrowed it down. Some of the costs from now it's making it easy when it's by $17,000. I was like, well, yeah, it's going to be. So I talked to Lisa and we'll go to the Staples and see about getting the printing, because printing is way too good.
Well, I bring that up because we're also going to have to look at doing something about picking up that, you know, covering that job. Because I don't know if that's going to, what it'll look like, whether it's a really creative position that does many other things, whether it's only part-time, but we need to look at that budget thing. So, anyway, anything else?
Yeah, we're going to get another draft soon of the solid proposal.
So, I did talk with council on that. She has a comment. I think she's looking for more direction from board members, because there didn't seem to be a consensus. But I know she's working on that. When that will be, but
okay. We're still working on it.
Yeah. Anything else? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.